Last Sunday, our youth program got off to a great start, great kickoff Sunday. Our youth, our EYC, our Episcopal Youth Community, our youth group met on Sunday evening. They meet from 5 to 7, both our middle school and high school students. And I came by last Sunday just to be with them and spend some time together during that time. And it was a great, great time together. It's a time for fellowship, a time for fun, a time for a meal, a time for prayer. So it began the meeting with kind of an opening, kind of icebreaker. People could go around and share a response to a question. And the question was, can you share a time or an experience when you have felt closest to God? Could you share a time or an experience when you felt closest to God? People were thinking. People shared some really wonderful responses to that. And I shared one. I said just what came to me first was, for me, there's a up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, there's a beach called Nauset Light Beach that I love to walk on. It's tough to go in the water there because even in the summertime, it's ice cold up in New England. But I love to walk that beach. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just something. It becomes a sacred place for me. My daughters and I, we've had opportunities where we've watched the stars. And one of my daughters years ago, both of us saw the Milky Way up in the sky. And for Mary, myself, for the girls, it's a sacred place. So I shared that story. And others shared others as well. As the week progressed and as I began to look at the readings for today and prepare a sharing with you today, a homily, that question still stayed with me. You know, where have I felt closest to God? That's not the only answer that I gave to the youth. There's other moments when I've had that experience. But what came to me during this week is one of the experiences I have of feeling closest to God is when I'm with you, when I gather with you on Sundays, when I gather with you in meetings and gather with you in gatherings, gather with you in fellowships, gather with you doing things even beyond the community. There's something about, for me, being part of this community, which is all of us, that brings me closer to God. I have those moments. And the reason I think for that is, I realize that being part of the St. Paul's Faith community forms and shapes me. I would not be who I am if I weren't part of this faith community. Invite you to reflect on that yourself. How this faith community forms us, shapes us, invites us into this incredible journey that we walk. And why is that? I knew that, but why is that? And that's where this gospel reading came into me. I want to share some thoughts on that. But before that, put it in some sort of context. Each Sunday when we gather, most Sundays, we pray together the confession of sin. We kneel, we ask forgiveness and healing and wholeness for our sins. And there's a phrase in the confession of sin that always kind of leaps off the page at me, and perhaps you remember it. We pray for forgiveness. It says, for things done and for things left undone. Forgiveness for things done and things left undone. You know, we seek forgiveness. We oftentimes know the things that we've done that are not the best, that have not brought about wholeness and good things. And we seek forgiveness for that. And not only individual forgiveness, but we also realize we're part of communities. And we seek forgiveness for things we've done within that community, that gathering, those folks that make up a part of our lives. We're part of a larger world than just our own individual sins. So we may know those things. We bring them to God. Things done. But then there's that line, and for things left undone. Now, there may be things that are left undone that we know are undone. Things that we know in our lives we're not facing, we're not grappling with, we're not engaging with, we're not entering into. It's, Lord, I know that. It's undone, and I'm sorry for that, but it's still undone. But I wonder if there are things that are undone that we're not even aware of. Things left undone that are not present to us, we don't know of. And that's where this gospel reading comes in today for me. This is the story of, it's usually called the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And I want to just reflect on that reading with you and what it can say to us as a community of faith. The story is told of a rich man who is gathered with his friends, having, I love the word, a sumptuous celebration, a sumptuous meal. That's a great word, sumptuous. You know, gathered there with friends and of wealth. And he's described, if you had a stage, I could picture this on a stage. You can almost, the light is shining down on the rich man and the table, seeing the wonderful time they're having. Light dims, light shines on Lazarus, the poor man, who's sitting there outside the gate, it's described, outside the gate, just longing to even have crumbs from the table. It's interesting in the parables of Jesus, and he tells many parables, this is the only person that he gives a name to. Notice Lazarus has a name, but we don't know who the rich man is. They're just two people, one rich, one poor. And Lazarus longs to eat something. Then the scene changes, and both have died, and it's described that Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, meaning in Jewish culture, meaning he's in heaven. He's celebrating this life. And the rich man is described as not being there and suffering. And reaching out to Lazarus and Abraham, pleading, can you at least give me some water for the tip of my tongue, or at least go tell my brothers about this? I wonder in that story, because it's not described, you know, the rich man is not called the evil rich man, he's called the rich man, and it's a poor man. It's not evil to be poor, it's not evil to be rich, but there is a relationship. And there is a connection. And what is that? It seems, one of the suggestions I make is that I wonder if the rich man was just oblivious to the poor man being outside his gate. Just oblivious. Didn't know. Wasn't aware. So surrounded by the community that he has shaped and formed, just didn't lead him there. Even though Lazarus was there. It's almost hinted at in this when the rich man says to Abraham, let my brothers know this. Maybe they're oblivious to this too. And the response is that the prophets, Moses and the prophets have been sent. And the meaning of this gospel reading too is that Jesus has been sent to awaken us. When I read that gospel reading this past week, I sat down and said to myself, where are my gates? Where are my doors that I'm just not seeing beyond? Where are there things that I'm oblivious to and don't see? I think that's a message of this gospel. And asking that question circled me around again to where I started. I experience God when I'm with you. And I think one of the reasons is that I am formed and shaped by the relationships we share, by the work we do together. And hopefully that's an experience we all can have. We lead each other to our gates. We lead each other to our doors. We lead each other to become aware of perhaps things that we're oblivious to. Can you think of that experience here at St. Paul's? Something that perhaps you just didn't see or hear or aware of, and it was brought before us. And then when it's brought before us, then what do we do with that? And that's where we're called to engage and make a difference and do things as a community of faith together. I give thanks for that. I offer that thought this morning as we gather, that this is a community that we value, It's a community that forms and shapes us, perhaps in ways we don't even always realize. It's a community we need to support by our presence and our resources, because we make a difference in our lives and the lives of the world beyond us. So today, as we, in a few moments, when we do the confession of sin and pray that together, think about things done and things left undone. And realize that part of the spiritual journey is opening ourselves to the things that we are oblivious to. Because the other side of that is just shut the door, shut the gate, and just push it away. But part of this journey, which we share here together, is opening us to those possibilities. So this morning, let us be aware of the things we've done, ask forgiveness, and the things that are yet to be done, the things that we need to seek healing and wholeness and forgiveness and move forward together. And I give thanks for our young folks on Sunday. That time with them, believe it or not, was an experience of the holy for me, although I didn't name it at that time. But their gift to me, their gift to this community, their gift that we are to each other, is one of opening ourselves more and more, more and more. So offer that thought today as we go forward, to open our gates and see the possibilities before us.